1138.
You're being watched. They know where you live, the value of your home, the names of your friends and family, even what you read. Where the data revolution meets national security, there's no place to hide.
We are not going to harm you. Everything will be all right.
As we go through our lives, we leave more and more. We're like comets in a way. We leave a long trail of data behind us. And most of us don't worry about it or think about it because it's become so routine and the information seems so banal because who cares about us, right? When you use your cell phone, you leave a record of when you made the call, who you called, how long you were on the phone, and where roughly you were at the time. The location of the cell phone is becoming more and more precise. So in some places it might be up to a mile. In some cities it might be a few blocks. But there's a general location. When you use your ATM card, you're leaving a record of obviously where you were, when you used it, the fact that it was you. There's often a video camera shot of you at that location. But more than that, the banks, as a result of the Patriot Act, have a legal mandate. They're required to watch that transaction. And so they're using artificial intelligence to check whether that's really you using it, to check whether you have ties to unsavory people, to look at the patterns of your financial activity to see if maybe you're trying to perpetuate sort of money laundering, if you have ties to terrorism finance. So if there are any suspicious signs at all, they're sending reports to a very little known branch of the Treasury Department, which is creating a data mine of all those reports, and there are many, many of them now. And they share them with law enforcement across the country, local, state, and federal law enforcement, as well as the intelligence agencies. When you go to the grocery store and use the discount card, when you go through an automatic toll booth, when you call online to get a sweater or a pair of jeans, if you have an adventurous marriage and you buy something fun, you know, to use privately with your spouse or your mate, believe it or not, all that stuff is swept up somewhere, and more is available to these information companies to get to know you better, so to speak, or to share or resell. Now, the government doesn't really care about all of that, but it is routinely tapping billions of records about where you've lived in your entire adult life. I mean, I'm talking every house and apartment, all the phone numbers you've had, the cars you've owned. It can find links between you and me, for example. They can show, by looking into these billions of records, how we're related. If we know somebody who knew somebody that shared an apartment with, you know, somebody we have in common. And they're using these systems.
This line is tapped, so I must be brief. They got to you first, but they've underestimated how important you are. If they knew what I know.
You may not know Axiom, but it knows a lot about you.
Is it really so hard to believe?
Now, Axiom's an amazing company based in Little Rock, and they are perhaps the largest aggregator of information about private Americans. And they work on behalf of virtually all the main banks. They work with retailers. They collect information from hundreds and hundreds of sources so that they have these billions of records that help companies to know you better, to find out more about you. And after 9/11, they reached out to former President Clinton and asked him to make a call to John Ashcroft to help out the government's war on terror, and then to help ease the way for contracts.
Inside the Matrix, they are everyone, and they are no one.
You have, in effect, the creation of private intelligence services that, in many ways, do what James Bond and his colleagues would have liked back in the 60s movies, except they do it faster and better in terms of finding links among people, establishing patterns, showing tendencies, risk assessment. Choice Point, based outside of Atlanta, has bought 58 companies since 1997. The companies include a genetic repository, biometrics, fingerprint. They are becoming a fingerprint specialist. They've got something like 19 billion records, And they have become, they say, the nation's largest background screener. So that when you try to get a job, there's a chance that the company is going to Choice Point to check your background out. And so if you had if you wrote a bad check, or if you had a bust for smoking pot when you were in college, or drunk driving, or, you know, whatever, that kind of background is going to probably follow you forever now, and it's going to be instantly available to anybody who's willing to pay the $50 or $100 to check you out. That we're moving toward a scarlet letter society where you are branded for life for whatever you did when you were 19 and foolish. But more than that, Choice Point is providing these intelligence services as a private intelligence service.
But they are the gatekeepers. They are guarding all the doors, they are holding all the keys, which means that sooner or later, someone is going to have to fight them.
RFIDs, radio frequency identification chips.
Well, RFID is a classic example that holds for a lot of this technology. It has a real use, just like the information that we've been talking about, has a real use, and we like a lot of it. We like the discounts, we like the conveniences, and in fact, I would argue that we have to use information technology to make us safer, to some degree. RFID is like that. It can be used to tag pallets of goods that are going from California to New York. And what it allows the logistical managers to do is to wave a wand over the RFID chip, and the chip will have an ID code on it that bounces right back, reflects the radio frequency, and the ID chip will tell you where the pallet of goods came from, where it's supposed to go, what's there, what's in it, because the ID that's on that chip is also in a computer that has all this information. The thing that's interesting is that for all that utility, RFID is going to be used more and more on people and on IDs. And what it's going to do is accelerate the collection of information about people. So once RFID becomes more common, there's going to be readers, presumably in doorways at airports. So when you go through with your ID, it'll automatically record that Bob O'Hara is there at a certain time. These readers, presumably and almost surely, will be placed into doorways where we're not told they're there. Initially we will be, but eventually they'll become so common that we're just going to get used to them, and we'll forget to ask, are there RFID readers here? So that as we go about our lives, it won't be just cameras, which exist in far greater numbers than ever before, or the data, which exist in far greater numbers than ever before when we swipe our cards, use our credit card, and so on. It'll be these RFID readers that automatically record as we move about in the world. Now, again, there's security there because there's a certain level of security because they're going to know who's coming and going. But the question is, how are we going to limit the use of the information that's collected? And how are we going to ensure that the government and these private companies aren't being intrusive and undermining this sense of autonomy that I would argue we must have in a free society so that we can be politically active, so we can be creative, so we can be different if we choose to be without being made to feel odd or peculiar.
The line was traced. I don't know how.
I know. They cut the hard line. There's no time. You're going to have to get to another exit.
Are there any agents?
Yes.
God damn it.
An RFID chip is something that you carry with you, or in some cases people are having, believe it or not, embedded in their bodies. Biometrics is something that you don't even have a choice.
Wait. Embedded in their bodies.
Yeah, there are RFID... people will recognize that their dogs have these RFID chips in them in case the dogs go missing. And in some cases, it's a requirement. You have to have this thing, and it's injected in, and it's a chip that's embedded under the skin. Well, there's a company that has started doing this now for a number of different reasons, and it's kind of funny. They argue that it's to contain medical information, and they argue that if you put it in your children, if they go missing, that it'll help you find them more quickly. But the reality is, and I know this because I've reported on it, is that it's moving toward a general identity system where if you have that on your embedded in your skin or on an ID card, you're going to be able to get through the line, whether it's at work or the airport and such, eventually more quickly than the people who choose not to do it. If you choose not to have the RFID on a card or embedded in your skin, you're not going to get through the fast line.
Let him who hath understanding reckon the number of the beast.
For it is a human number.
Its number is 666.
Now, biometrics. It's the same sort of thing. I would argue in our lifetimes, we're going to have to share our fingerprints on ID cards and electronically to get into facilities, to go through the airport, to get into buildings. And that's just a fact of life. It's a biometric is an immutable characteristics like a fingerprint, your face, your voice. These are things that, for the most part, people can't mimic. And it's an identity system. And the question isn't the use of the biometric, because the reality is biometrics could actually help prevent identity theft because it's hard to imitate someone's face to take on that identity. But once you have an identity system like that, that where a biometric is used universally, whether it's your fingerprint or your face print, once again, it creates enormous opportunities for private companies to track you or to watch you for, you know, mercantile purposes in ways that weren't possible before. My argument is, how can we adopt the one which could help us without having rules to limit the use of the other, which is the tracking part of it? Why do I say that? It's a very simple, very old-fashioned idea. In a free society, we want people to be as nonconformist as possible. We want people to sort of feel free to express political opinions that are unpopular. We want them to be artistic. We want them to, you know, just be themselves. When you have a sense of being watched, a watched society where biometrics are used to watch everywhere you go, where your data is picked up, at some point we begin to realize in a way that we haven't to date how much we're being watched. And there'll be the people who don't care and they'll do whatever. But the reality is the rest of us are going to feel this chill that maybe if we misstep, we could be taken away for questioning, that, you know, it might be recorded that we did something foolish. And so to avoid embarrassment or those kinds of questions or the sense that we're somehow suspect, we're going to all become a lot more conformist.
How shall the new environment be programmed? It all happened so slowly that most men failed to realize that anything had happened at all.
Is it really so hard to believe?
Hank Asher was a data pioneer, and he invented two systems now that have helped change the landscape of law enforcement, surveillance, and the delivery of information about Americans. He created the system called DBT that was sold to Choice Point that was used in the Florida election. And he started out with almost nothing in the early 1990s and created a system that collected when he sold his system and became wealthy in the late 1990s, it had 8 billion records. Well, now DBT is part of Choice Point, which of course has something like 19 or 20 billion records. He also, after 9/11, had a company called Seismic Intelligence. Its name was Seisint, and it created a system called The Matrix. A lot of people would have heard about The Matrix because it, for the first time to my knowledge, combined criminal investigative records and confidential investigative records from police and law enforcement and driver records and photographs with these 20 billion records that, you know, showed where we lived and the cars we owned and the assets that we have. And it did it in a way where I could make a query if I were a cop that had a partial license plate, a description of, you know, that I'm a white guy with 6 foot with brown hair, and a general location, and come up with everybody that fit that description within the snap of a finger. It was an amazing, amazing system. Now, Hank Asher is an especially interesting character because in interviews with me, he acknowledged that in the early 1980s, for a short time, he was a drug smuggler. and flew to and from South America and Central America with drugs. He didn't specify, but I obtained records under Freedom of Information that showed that the drugs, according to police, appeared to be cocaine and lots of pot. Hank Asher said that that was a short period of his life. He was an adventurer, and that he hadn't done it since, and there's nothing to indicate that he has. What's interesting is that after he built the Matrix system, spending at least $10 million and perhaps as much as $20 million of his own money, he was invited to the White House and escorted there by the president's brother, Jeb Bush, to demonstrate this system, which, in fact, from what I can tell, is a mind-blowing technology for Vice President Cheney, for soon-to-be Homeland Secretary Tom Ridge, and for others in the White House, in the Roosevelt Room. And after that, received funding from Homeland Security to help expand the use of this. Now, the Matrix system is one of those things that a lot of people thinks was killed because a number of states dropped out, both for concerns about privacy and the intrusion, as well as the cost. But the reality is some states are still using it. And more importantly, in last summer, Hank Asher's company was bought by LexisNexis, this giant company that nobody thinks of really in this realm because we all use them to get newspaper clips. But in fact, LexisNexis is one of the main players in the war on terror and is sharing its information under contract with the government. Now they bought the Matrix system in Hank Asher's company Sizen for $750 million. And it's a sure thing that the Matrix technology is now being used for Homeland Security. And I would argue, I'm betting, I don't know this for sure, that it's going to be interwoven into the much larger, vastly larger company, LexisNexis, which has, you know, a global scope because it's based out of the UK. And so it just becomes this incredible, fascinating story that sounds like science fiction or Hollywood, but in fact, is truer than most people probably want to recognize.
What is real? How do you define real?
Shall we play a game?
Condition the world.
Is it really so hard to believe? This is the construct. It's our loading program.
They've got over 100 spy satellites looking down at us. That's classified.
Is it really so hard to believe?
Am I really here? Do I really exist?
Our impulses are being redirected. We are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep.
As long as the Matrix exists, the human race will never be free.
The same scenes.
Is it really so hard to believe?
The same people.
Sometimes we'll never see what may be taking place.
Victims to vanity, like a spreading cancer. A distinctly human error.
Signal is stable. This frequency will continue to remain open.
Am I
feeling I've been left behind? Feeling I've been left behind. Feeling I've been left behind.
Am I
Mr. Popper, what is my policy on ringing phones in the classroom?
Well, nothing worth doing in life is easy. And I have great faith in you, son. I know you can do it.
Thanks, Dad.
The bioelectric thermal and kinetic energies of the human body.
The once great human race.
Cool baby.
Race.
Neo, I believe. Free my mind. Free my mind. Free my mind.
Am I?
Am I?
another world now. Make no mistake about that.
To convert is its choice to make.
It's their nature.
He cannot wake up. Do not let him wake up.
He's had a rough day.
I don't know, Dad. I don't know what to believe in anymore.
That is... Leo. I knew. He'd save me.
His vitals are good. He's gonna make it. It's unbelievable.